How many soldiers do you think died during the war?
3,000.
And he says, how is it that Israel has lost exactly 3,000 soldiers in the Yom Kippur War? And I have the book here. I was going to read it. But, let me see if I can read something. Because it says, just as in Acts chapter 41, it says 3,000 soldiers lost their lives in the Yom Kippur War. So is this consistency of God or what?
Yeah.
So do we think that it just happens to be 3,000, or God is showing us 3,000 throughout the scriptures? And here it is, modern day, 1973 for me is modern day because I'm in sixth grade, you know? And you have a Yom Kippur War, one of Israel's biggest history things happening in history. 6 years after the Six-Day War, they have another war, and it kills 3,000 people. So is God consistent in what he's doing?
Yes.
Now, I went through all of that because I'm going to show you another consistency so that you can understand the plan of the rescue of the church and the bride, okay? Let's go back to Exodus. Chapter 4.
Oh, man.
Let me see if my... Oh, I didn't even have my fan on me, Pastor Ben.
I'm sorry.
I'm itching for a licking. Now, let's look at this. Okay, in Exodus chapter 4, verse 26, it says, then God says, then go tell Pharaoh, to Moses, he's telling him, say to Pharaoh, this is what the Lord says, Israel is my firstborn son, and I told you, let my son go so he may worship me. But if you refuse to let him go, I will kill your firstborn sons. So, you ask a million Christians, who's the firstborn son of God? And what will they say?
Jesus
Christ. But the scripture, now he's the first begotten son of God, but God considers Israel to be his firstborn son. Like these are my chosen people. These are my people, okay? So Israel is the firstborn son of God. Now, if Jesus is also the firstborn son of God, that means that Israel and Jesus are going to play the exact same role. You understand? That means that, okay, let's look at this. So Israel comes out of Egypt, right? And let's go to Exodus chapter 12. In Exodus chapter 12, he gets these instructions. He says, tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of the month, and I'm reading from starting from verse 3, on the 10th day of the month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one from each household. So on the 10th day of the month of Nisan, every Jew goes out and picks a lamb. Because what's going to happen to that lamb 4 days later? They're going to kill him. When? 4 days later would be on the 14th of Nisan, right? So this lamb is going to die on the 14th of Nisan. He's telling them this because he's about to bring them out of Egypt, okay? So here comes the 14th of Nisan. They killed the lamb. They've taken the blood. They're putting it on the doorposts of their homes, right? And now they all begin to exit out. The Jews are giving them all kinds of wealth, like, just please go, right? And so they're headed out of Egypt. Now, is the 14th day a day of rejoicing for the Jews? Yes, but no. Why not? Because even though it happened on the 14th, they know, you know, and I know that their real rescue has not happened yet,
right?
Okay. So, if we go to Exodus chapter 14, In verse 21, here it is, it says, then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. So why did God have to split the sea? Behind them is an army of Egyptian soldiers ready to kill all of them, right? So did they celebrate on the 14th? Because it seemed as though the rescue was complete, right? But now they're saying, oh my God, maybe we shouldn't have partied so much on the 14th. Because now we need a real rescue. And so God divides the waters. Now, if you step by step, day by day, go through it, from the 14th, then on the 15th something happened, on the 16th something happened. When they got to the 17th of Nisan, this is when God is telling him, divide the waters. Then the next morning, the Egyptians tried to come through the same water and they were destroyed. So when did the real rescue happen? On the 17th, but they celebrated the 14th because that was the beginning, but it wasn't the end. Do you understand? The Passover, the final Passover, was now you're safe from the Egyptians. You'll never hear from them again because they couldn't tread water, right? So now we understand that what happens. We get to, so we see on the 14th of Nisan, and then we see on the 17th of Nisan. Now, let's talk about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ comes into Jerusalem on the 10th of Nisan. Okay? I was talking to my wife this morning. It was like, how do you figure out that Jesus Christ, it was the 10th of Nisan when he arrived in Jerusalem? Now, according to Exodus, it has to be on the 10th of Nisan. Why? Because 4 days later, he has to be inspected. Every lamb has to be inspected before you kill him. So God says on the 10th, grab the lamb. They didn't just grab them 4 days earlier for no reason. They grabbed them 4 days earlier to inspect the lamb to make sure it had no blemishes and it was worthy of being killed. So they pull Jesus. So Jesus arrives on the 14th. Everything's going fine on the 14th, but all the Pharisees are asking him questions. So as he arrives, now the Pharisees are saying, who are you? Are you really God? Are you the Son of God? Are you saying that you're a God? You're trying to make yourself to be God? And then he gets arrested, and then now Pilate starts asking him questions. So for 4 days, they're interrogating him. Then Pilate finally comes out and says, we have examined this man, and he is completely innocent. I'll just turn him over. There's no fault in him. Jesus hears that and goes, yay! I'm a blameless lamb. I am worthy of sacrifice. So now when you hear that, you go, oh my goodness, okay, now Jesus is going to get sacrificed. Now, in Acts chapter 1, verse 3, it says, after the passion of Christ. Because I always wonder where they got that title for that movie, The Passion of Christ. But it's a Greek word that means, like, you know when you have a passion for something? Like an eager love and desire for something to happen and come to pass, right? You have a passion for it. So the Greek word, that's exactly what it meant. Jesus had an eager desire, passion for the day of the cross to come. He was looking forward to the day.
My goodness.
Why was he looking forward to the day? Because he knew that was the day that was going to free you.
Yeah.
Okay? That was the day that was going to free you. If you read in Psalms chapter 22, he said he did it for all the souls that would be born after him.
Yeah.
So that means he was anticipating you and me when he was on the cross.
Yeah.
So this is his passion. I'm going to save many people by doing this. Jesus is on the cross. He dies on the cross, 14th of Nisan. Now, to each and every Christian that celebrates Passover or celebrates the day of Jesus' death on a cross, the death for the Christian is not the day. Mm-hmm. Because every Christian at the time, every person who believed in Jesus was now waiting for the real moment.
Yes.
They waited the 15th. Seen him? Nope, haven't seen him. They waited the 7th, the 16th. Haven't seen him. They waited till the 17th. Why? Because 3 days later, they get the true victory. Because if he resurrects, we all got eternal life.
Right.
And so God, being consistent with the Lamb in Exodus, he says, okay, you came out of Egypt, but that's not the real victory. You want the other victory 3 days later when the resurrection happens, because that's the true victory. Okay? So this is what God, so you see, he's consistent there, he's consistent here. Now, let's go back to Holocaust. Holocaust lasts from 1939 to 1945, okay? When 1945 and World War II was over, all the Jews were released from concentration camps, and the Americans were now helping them with food, other countries were now having compassion, some, not all. And now all the Jews are free from these camps in 1945. They're celebrating, but you know there's something still wrong. What's wrong? They still don't have a homeland. They're not going, they could go through the same thing again, because they're still all living in foreign homelands where the people have been taught to hate them. So now they're trying to get on boats to go back to Israel. Do you know they were blocking the boats from leaving Germany to go back to Israel? They would stop them and turn them back and send them back to Germany, send them back to Russia. And that consistently went on. And sometimes a boat would sneak through and you'd get a few that made it to Israel. But let me tell you, they were stopping them left and right. No one could get out. The war was over with in 1945. 46, 47, 48. What happened in 1948? The Jews resurrected from the grave. Because how many Jews died in the Holocaust? 6 million. But the Bible says, and the newspaper says, 1/3 of every Jew has died. On the cross, how many, what is the triune? The triune is the three, right? So 1/3 of the Godhead died on the cross, then resurrected on the third day. 1/3 of the Jews died in the Holocaust, then resurrected on the third day. In 1946, 47, 48 is resurrection time. Now we can really celebrate, because now we're back in the land.
Yeah.
It's the consistency of God. Understand? Okay. Now, we get to this incredible day, and I want to explain to you some history. Let's see, do we have, you see this date right up here? It says 1917, the Balfour Accord. That was a Jubilee year. The book of Leviticus says that in the Jubilee year, all land has to be returned to the original owner. That's one of the reasons. Read Leviticus chapter 25. In the Jubilee year, if you were purchasing some land, it's over. The purchase thing is over, because you can't sell the land because it didn't belong to him. It says now you have to give the land back to its original owner. So every Jubilee, everyone knows the land has to go back to the original owner. In 1917, Jerusalem belonged to the Turks. But General Allenby fought a war and defeated the Turks. But in a letter, he said, we want to give the land back to the Jews. And he wrote the Rothschilds saying, this is the Balfour Accord, a declaration that the land of Jerusalem, I am returning to the Jews in 1917. So This was a Jubilee year, and it was like everybody celebrated. They're giving us Jerusalem back, right? But then the British came in and said, no, you're not. We're reneging on that letter. We're not giving anything back to them. So they don't get the land back in 1917. But it was a Jubilee year. When do they get Jerusalem back? 1967. What's a Jubilee? 50 years. How many years is that after 1917? 50 years. So the next 50 years, the Jerusalem had to be returned to the rightful owner because that's the rule of a Jubilee. So in 1967, what happens? Six-day war, and the Jews finally get Jerusalem back as their own land. Now, Jerusalem is back in their land. The Jews are back. So that's two Jubilees that they've returned Jerusalem back to the Jews, right? Now, the Jews are back in the land, but the world says, if you make Jerusalem your capital, the Arab nations are gonna come to war against you. So for years, since 1967, nobody has had the nerve to say, Jerusalem belongs to the Jews, and we're going to build the temple, and we're going to put the capital. They made the capital Jerusalem, and the U.S. put their embassy back in Jerusalem because he said we're putting it in their capital. Now, this hadn't happened for 50 years. So it had happened in 1917, and it happened in 1967. When's the next time it's supposed to happen?
2017.
So here comes this guy with great hair, and he says, my name is Donald Trump, and Jerusalem belongs to the Jews. And the Arab nations went crazy. They're burning stuff, they're throwing rocks over the walls. They can't believe that this guy, and I think the only person that was angry was Satan, because he says, if they declare Jerusalem belonging to the Jews in this Jubilee year, that means God's word is true and we can't stop it. Say, Donald won't do it. Donald, he won't do it. I know he won't do it because he knows if he does that, it'll bring war. Jerusalem belongs to the Jews.
Yep.
And now you have three Jubilees that do the exact same thing. 1917, 50 years later, 1967, 50 years later, 1917. And then you go, oh my goodness, God's word is consistent. Okay. The end of 2017 was also the 120th Jubilee.
Yeah.
That's the end of a work week. You can't work 7 days in Israel. Jesus said he would work a full work week for his bride. So in 2017, his work week was over. We should have celebrated in 2017. What went on in 2017? Everything. You name it, there was blue moons, blood moons,
yes.
Black moons, there was eclipse.
Yep. Everything.
Everything, and everybody's waiting on Revelation 12 prophecy to come true, because the stars aligned themselves in 2017 mm-hmm. for the first time since Jesus was born.
Yep.
There had never been 12 stars over the head of the constellation of Virgo ever until since Jesus was born. In 2017, you got 12 stars above the head of the Virgo. And in Revelation chapter 12, what does it say? Let's read that so that we can see why people were excited. Revelation chapter 12 says, a great wondrous sign appeared in the heavens, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Now, Israel giving birth is for her first birth is a birth without the tribulation. So the church is waiting for the rapture. We're getting raptured in 2017. Hallelujah. It's a Jubilee year. It's the 120th Jubilee. This is awesome. There's 12 stars above the constellation of Virgo. And now this is the year. So then, as 2017 went on, there's an eclipse, there's a blood moon, there's a great blood moon, there's a purple moon. It was like everybody was anticipating 2017. 2017 came and it went and nothing. Like 1945 came and it went and nothing. Like the 14th of Nisan came, we celebrated, but we're still not in the land. Why? We're waiting for three. So 2017, 18, 19, 20. And Psalms 120 says what? The year of ascension. This is the psalm of going up. So God has been doing this thing with me for the last, what, 2 or 3 weeks? Tell my people, it's been pre-planned. Your only job you have is to be ready, stay ready, and prepared to leave. Because no matter what the world says and no matter what preachers won't preach, the rapture has been planned since the beginning of time, and my son is getting married and he does have a Gentile bride and she's living in the earth right now and she has my spirit in her. That's why I call her a candlestick. Because she is a human body with my flaming spirit in them. But when you get to heaven, you don't need a candlestick, so you can get rid of this body because the resurrected body is a flame within itself. Yeah. So he calls it a lamp in Revelation chapter 4, but he calls it a lampstand in chapter 1. But once you get there, who needs a body?
Right.
You will be a flame within yourself. You understand? So God has planned this. This is the third day. We can say, like the apostle said, well, it was like, why are you guys looking so sad? Well, you know, Jesus was here and he did all of these miracles. And boy, we were hoping that, you know, he would overthrow the Roman government. And, you know, here it is now 3 days later and it's on the third day and nobody's heard from him, you know? And so they were downcast. As they were walking along, what's that road? The Emmaus Road. That they're walking along the road and they're downcast. They don't even know it's Jesus walking next to them. They go, really? Because he asked, oh, what happened? And they go, where have you been? You been on the moon or something? Don't you know about what happened with Jesus of Nazareth? All the great and wonderful things he did? And then he began to speak and they went, oh, it's you! It's the third day, it's you. That's what we're doing now. Everybody's downcast still over 2017. But we were hoping that, you know, we were believing that year and he did more miracles and the stars were lined up and it was 12. You know what I mean. And I told my family. And now they think I'm crazy. I told them Jesus was gonna resurrect, he's gonna come out of the ground. That was 3 days ago and he's not here yet. That's what we're doing now.
Amen.
God says, no, it's been pre-planned. I'm consistent.
Yeah.
Nothing happened for the Jews till 3 years later. Nothing happens for the church till what? 3 years later. Then you'll see the resurrection. Then you'll see the real victory. Because the real victory is the waters dividing and the church leaving. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
That is it.
Beautiful.
Did I go?